Good morning. We are all fired up on a Thursday. Mike and Seth, Paul's back with us tomorrow, still dealing with his fish scenario, which we'll try to get to the bottom of.
Coming I don't up think it's in, a fish scenario.
You don't think so?
It doesn't make any sense.
Well, here's the recap. Before we get to Cecil Shorts on Jadeveon Clowney and what will and will not happen in training camp, Paul left us in the middle of yesterday's show because he was not feeling all too well. And he genuinely looked like he was in some sort of discomfort.
Looked like hell. Now, I thought he was mad at me.
I thought so, too, at the beginning of the show. I thought he was mad at just us in general.
Yeah,
I don't know
sometimes
why.
Sometimes Paul puts out a vibe like, oh, I don't know if he's angry at the world or angry at us, but it feels like he's angry at us.
Yes.
But he was just, he's angry at his belly.
Now, he tweeted that he tweeted, don't get fish at a steakhouse. But I didn't realize.
That's horrible advice. Why would you not get fish at a steakhouse? Lots of steakhouses have incredible fish.
I agree with you. I think you can get anything on the menu at a steakhouse.
It depends. Like, are you going to, like, you know, Chuck's Bargain Deep Discount Steakhouse or something?
But if you're going to any,
be careful about what you eat there.
If you're going to any Michelin accredited steakhouse, they're gonna have good fish. They're gonna have good salads. They're gonna have good sides. Whatever.
What's a Michelin accredited steakhouse?
I just made it up.
No.
I know this is a Michelin rating.
Michelin 5-star rating or whatever.
Yeah. I may have made up the
accredited
part.
Is that related to the tire company?
Actually, yes, same people.
It is?
I learned this in a class I took.
What a weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
What a weird, really?
Yeah, because otherwise it could be a trademark issue.
The super fancy restaurant rating company is also the same as the tire company.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yes.
What a world.
Yeah. So we were discussing before the show, do we think it's the fish or do we think it's something else?
I don't know. I think it's, he's doing a little bit, wait, you're the law school graduate. Would this be post hoc, ergo propter hoc, where he got sick? He thought about, wait, what did I do before I got sick? Oh, I ate fish at a nice steakhouse. It must be the fish at the steakhouse. That's probably what he's doing.
It could be something like that,
Are you dodging my law school question?
Yeah. Oh, I just wanted to look
I
it up.
I wanted to use a little Latin at 6:03 in the morning.
Since event Y followed event X, event Y must have been caused by event X.
Yeah.
There could be a little bit of that going on.
Radio right here.
There could be a little bit of that going on. That since Paul got a little bit sick, that he's blaming the fish, but it could be something else.
Okay.
For what
so
it's
he's,
worth.
He's not feeling so hot. I tried to, you know, I got real nervous about bringing this up because people hate when they suggest that it might be a diet thing, but he's been doing keto for like a month and he's been super, super regimented with it. He's been very, very disciplined about it.
Yes.
Which I would imagine is even harder because he's not fat at all.
No.
Like the only reason I ever watch what I eat is because I'm getting fat. So for him to just do it just like as his own little body experiment because he wants to get abs.
It's impressive.
It's impressive, but he's been very strict with it. But then he went out Sunday and he played like 3 hours of flag football. That's an activity that requires a whole lot of carbs. So he's probably had like 7 grams of carbs in the last month, and I think he might have gone a little overboard.
You think he might need a sandwich?
You get this thing called the keto flu,
yeah.
Where when you're adjusting to the ketogenic diet, and maybe that's what it was for him. I don't know.
Well,
keto bros, text in 713-572-4610. Can you actually vomit from the keto flu, or is that just the, I don't know.
We should have Paul back on the show tomorrow just to kind of give you the lay of the land today. Moved Seth's needle coming up at 6:45. We're going to get some insight into the Texans offensive line with former Pro Bowler Chris Myers coming up at 9 o'clock. I want to get Chris's take on the way the Texans are developing Tytus Howard and Max Sharping, because when you talk to a lot of those old school offensive linemen, and Myers isn't really like old school. I mean, he's probably like 38 years old. They talk about how challenging it is to move around, move at different positions. I want to start, though, with Jadeveon Clowney. Cecil Shorts, who is somebody who was close to Clowney's, you know, circle of people, he played here with Clowney for a year or two, gave an update and some news on the triple threat about Clowney and what's going to happen in a couple of months.
From what I've been hearing from people close to him is that you should not expect him. We shouldn't expect him until September.
That would be week one of the regular season.
He is not expected to come to training camp as of yesterday. So I had a good conversation with some guys yesterday, and they said we probably should not expect him till September. It was some interesting comments going back and forth on the reasons why. But, you know, I don't think it's a surprise, too much of a surprise. I've spoken to some people close to or in the organization of the Texans, Texans organization, and they kind of had a understanding that this possibly could happen. This normally what happens when you have a guy with a kind of can sign a franchise tag or whatnot, but he will not, as of yesterday, he will not be here until September.
Now, that's assuming he doesn't sign a long-term deal, by training camp.
Right.
And that deadline is going to be July 15th. So a little bit less than 2 months. If Clowney signs a long-term deal, obviously he's going to be here. But if he doesn't, what Cecil is saying is that he's not going to show up until right before week one.
I feel like I'm the only person that heard this and got excited. All I heard when I heard this was, oh, so he's going to be here. Are we really quibbling about practice here? Are people concerned that Jadeveon Clowney, who barely participated in training camp last year, is might miss training camp?
Well,
if your old school sentiment is like, yeah, you got to be with the team, that's fine. But this is the modern sports world. Is at times you have holdouts. It's not ideal, but the way I read that, it sounds like he's going to be here for sure in September.
I can see your point. I think the concern that people have is twofold. One is he going to be actually ready to go at the start of the season? And two, they're worried that, okay, if Clowney doesn't sign a long-term deal and he doesn't show up for all of training camp, that it indicates that there is a divide between him and the team.
Right.
Now, I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying, but what people will be worried about is those two things I mentioned. Will he be ready for the season?
Right. So, and again, like, I'm not trying to minimize the importance of it. It's very, very important. And I fall into the camp of people that think that Clowney should get a pretty healthy contract because he's way better than when you want to look at just the simple box score and look at sacks and what have you. He's a much higher impact player than that. He's a kind of a unique player, which makes the negotiations difficult. In some ways, you could say he's an incredibly effective edge player. In other ways, you could say, yeah, he's awesome as an interior player. He's a good run defender. He's a good pass rusher. But he's just a more complete football player than a lot of the guys that get paid really well as pass rushers. And somehow he's going to be punished for that. He's almost punished for being more well-rounded than a lot of those other guys. So I fall into the camp of people that think he should get paid, but I also fall into the camp of thinking, yeah, but if he's here and he's playing on the one-year franchise tag, that's actually good for the organization. That might be ultimately good for Jadeveon Clowney in the long term, but it's the Texans getting a really good player at a relative discount. If the only price you have to pay is missing him in August and then maybe he gets a slow start to the season, I'm fine with that. Now, am I being too optimistic? Is there a chance that he's going to hold out into the season?
I don't think so.
It didn't seem like that, judging. I mean, we're basing this on what Cecil has said based on his conversations with people.
I agree with you. Because when I first saw the tweet from our account, from Sports Radio 6, and I was thinking, okay, does Cecil mean into the regular season? Well, no, he means that Clowney would miss all of training camp and then come back the week before week one,
yeah.
And then he'd presumably play against the Saints. I agree with you about the contract, and when it comes to this whole deal, it makes sense for Clowney to at least, you know, throw out the idea to, you know, put some seeds in the air that if they don't come to an agreement on a long term deal, that he's not just going to be the good boy and show up, you know, whenever the team wants him.
Right.
He's going to exercise his leverage, which he should, and not show up until right before the season.
What if he shows up September 1st and he's like 310 pounds?
Well, then the problem is then he's putting his overall. I don't think Clowney can get to that weight.
I don't think he could either. I was trying to figure out, like, what's the worst case scenario. The worst case scenario would be if he were sitting out right now and just eating chips on a couch somewhere and not working out. He'd still show up in much better shape and look better than I do. But he's still not going to be peak Jadeveon Clowney.
Yes.
I don't think you have to worry about that.
I don't think so either.
I think he's... If Jadeveon Clowney is a rookie, we're in this exact same situation, I would worry a lot about whether he was keeping himself in shape. Current Jadeveon Clowney, and I think that's what I would encourage people to think about Clowney over the last 2 or 3 years, not Jadeveon Clowney when he was a rookie or a second-year player. I think he'll be just fine. He's probably out working out with Jay Glazer at times. He's working out at other facilities at
times. Cecil mentioned, I think he's in Miami right now.
He's in my Benvenuto a Miami, Jadeveon Clowney.
Yes.
And I think he'll be just fine. So I might be the one person in Houston that heard that news from Cecil Shorts yesterday and got genuinely excited. I was like, oh, sweet, here we go.
At least
he's
going to
be in the fold. He's not holding on. He's not going to pull a Le'Veon Bell, God forbid.
Is Clowney upset? Here was Cecil weighing in on that question on the Triple Threat Wednesday.
One of the things that came up yesterday when I had a conversation was that they are trying to give him linebacker money. So with that being said, you can have a picture in your head of what the numbers are for linebackers compared to defensive ends. Right?
Sure.
So I think that's the biggest difference between the two sides right now is linebacker money and defensive end money. What does he think he should get and what are they offering?
For me, it's really not even as complicated as linebacker money versus defensive end money. It's Clowney should be paid, especially if you are Jadeveon Clowney, as one of the highest paid defensive players in the NFL. And I'm looking at it on my computer screen right now, and that's defensive ends, and that's tackles, and that's linebackers. But it's really about how great these players are. So we're talking Khalil Mack, Aaron Donald, but then DeMarcus Lawrence, Frank Clark, and Von Miller. And we mentioned this when DeMarcus Lawrence signed his contract about a month or two ago. That, to me, provides you with a really good basis for comparison to where if I'm Clowney, I'm not going to be willing to settle for much less than what DeMarcus Lawrence got. Whether I'm a defensive end, whether I'm a linebacker, right. I just want to be one of the highest paid defensive players in the league.
Well, and classifying him as a linebacker would be like pretending, if the Texans are classifying him as a linebacker, that's like pretending they haven't watched their own team play football.
Yes.
You know, linebackers, one key thing about a linebacker is that they play behind the line of scrimmage and like drop off into pass coverage. There are defensive ends in the league who drop off into coverage
more than
Jadeveon Clowney does. So he's a defensive end. Sometimes he's standing up. Sometimes he's lined up like an inside linebacker, but he's almost always rushing the passer in those situations. So he's a defensive end. I would imagine the conflict is that he thinks he should be up near Aaron Donald's or Khalil Mack's contract, and the Texans feel like he should be a little bit more down towards the DeMarcus Lawrence contract. And so when you say DeMarcus Lawrence, I'd be surprised if the Texans haven't come in the ballpark of the DeMarcus Lawrence contract. I think Clowney feels like he's better than DeMarcus Lawrence.
Well, I don't even...
I would guess that.
I don't know if I'd assume that, because if they're offering him what DeMarcus Lawrence got, who's the third highest paid defensive player in the league, who's going to make an average of $21 million a year, then I think that they would come to a deal before July 15th.
His contract is right below Mack and Donald?
It's below, yes. Okay. It's not way below, but it's below. I'm disagreeing with you, Seth, slightly, just to say...
You're saying DeMarcus Lawrence's contract is better than I'm portraying.
It's a really good contract, and I'm also not assuming anything of what the Texans are offering right now, because I don't know what they have offered.
I'm not assuming. I'm guessing.
You're guessing.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
You know what happens when you assume, Mike? You're making an ass out of you and me.
This is true.
Mr. Pierce, my 7th grade geography teacher.
I've learned that.
He was earth science. I don't know what he was.
I was going to guess earth science.
I assumed he was like a science teacher.
Mad Radio on a Thursday. Paul's back with us tomorrow. Is the NFL contributing to the wussification of America? We will investigate next on Mad Radio.